Thank you for joining us today for our daily broadcast of Abiding in the Word with Dave Love, Senior Pastor of Calvary Castle Rock. Today, we are continuing our special series on the Christmas story, so let's listen in now.
Soon your trials will be over.
From Micah the prophet, in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, who tells us the Messiah has to be born in Bethlehem. It reads this way, "But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting." How awesome is that? How awesome is that? So we know that this is to fulfill Scripture. We know this is to fulfill Scripture. And so Caesar is the puppet of God here, just doing what God wants him to do. And so we continue on here, and it says in verse 6, see how quickly we went from 3 to 6? It happens sometimes. "So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered." Now I want you to take notice of something here. While they were there, they're already there when it came time for her days to be completed to which she was delivered. We have in our minds that Joseph and Mary are hurrying. We got to get to Bethlehem. She's about ready to give birth. Oh, we just crossed the city limits. Boop, there it is. You know? It didn't happen that way. Okay? They were already there in Bethlehem. Okay? They were already there when the days were completed for her to be delivered. I don't know how many days she was there. Maybe it was only 2. Maybe it was 5. Maybe it was 10. We don't know. But we do know that she was there for a little bit before delivery came. And then it says in verse 7, "And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling cloths, laid him in a manger, because there's no room for them in the inn." Now, Luke is a fabulous historian. He's an amazing physician. We're told that he's a physician, he's a historian. But he's also, as we can tell by the information given here, he's a guy. What else do you need to know? Okay? This is all you need. Hey, Mary delivered, had a son, and by the way, he's in a manger. That's it. That's all you get. If I came back with information like that for my wife, hey, so-and-so had a baby and all's good, she'd be going, boy or girl? Now I'm thinking, well, I got a 50-50 shot here. Boy. You know, how much did it weigh? How long was it? I don't know. And name? What about a name? Oh, geez. Think it's Stephen, you know, only to find out it's a girl named Marie. And, you know, totally off base. So you learn. And so I wouldn't come home that way anymore. I think I pretty did the first couple times, but then you learn from that and say, I got to be a little bit more specific than that, you know? And then, you know, when you tell a bunch of ladies about a birth and everything, and you tell them what's going on, the next thing that happens, they start talking about their own birth and how the labor and all this kind of stuff. And as a guy, you're going, how do I get out of here? How do I navigate this? This is not a conversation I want to be around. And so, again, we can see he's a guy. He just gives information. And understand, very little information is given here. She gave birth in Bethlehem, placed little Jesus in a manger because there's no room at the inn. That's it. That's all the information we have of the birth of Jesus Christ here in Luke. So, let's see what the word inn means here. It's the Greek word kataluma, means lodging place or guest chamber. The late Dr. G. Coleman Luck, chairman of the Bible department at Moody Bible Institute, said that the kataluma was a caravansary, which was a large square edifice or building. This would be a place in the town square, so people that were traveling through Bethlehem could go there and stay the night and then continue on their journey. He says it's a two-story building, the lower half consisting of a place for the animals to be, your beast of burden that you rode in on or whatever, and the upper half consisting of small rooms for use for human travelers. This is where we get, in our mind, the grouchy innkeeper. Okay, well, if there's an inn, there has to be an innkeeper, right? And he's surly and he's in a bad mood and they come up and he says, no room for you. You know, read the sign, no vacancies, off with you, and slamming the door in their face. It does not say that anywhere. No innkeeper, no grouchy man, you know. And so this is all it tells us. There's a cataluma. Well, a cataluma could be just what a house is, because it means guest chamber. It speaks of a specific area in the house. So we have this, what possibly a first century dwelling place looks like here, okay? And so, again, you have the inside courtyard, the animals over here. There's a kitchen next to it. Over here is storage. You have a ladder going up to the second dwelling place upstairs. Here's the living space and another room, and then you could go up on the roof as well. So if Joseph and Mary came to their family members that they have there, and other people are coming in from the same family, and they come in and she is pregnant, about ready to deliver, and she sees that the one guest room is already taken up by, you know, Aunt Martha and Uncle Joe. And then she's thinking, okay, but there's room up top here, you know, that we can sleep out here as well, because it's September 11th. It's, you know, the first of Tishri. It's still relatively warm and nice at night and things like that. And so you have Mary that's climbing up these stairs right here. Oh, now coming up here to be able to sleep up here. Oh, wait a minute. It's midnight. I have to go to the bathroom. Oh, that was okay. Now I come back up here again. And oh, wait, I got to go to the bathroom again. Because she's pregnant. That's not going to work. It's not going to work. And so again, we don't know exactly what's going on here, but we do know that Jesus, when he was born, there was a manger. There's a manger, okay? So, what is a manger? Well, if you don't know, it's made of stone. About a half a ton is what this manger is, about a half a ton. The reason why I bring this to your attention is not as though, hey, do you have room here? Yeah, come on in. And then 6 hours later, she's giving birth, and someone goes, quick, someone go get a manger. No. Jesus is born in a place where there's already a manger, and guess what? Nobody's moving that. Nobody's moving that. So again, it changes your understanding of things. Does every household have a manger? Okay, possibly. Maybe it's outside there. All right. That is a possibility. But as we discovered last year at this time, when I brought this to your attention, there could be another place in Bethlehem that Jesus was born that the shepherds knew exactly where it was when it was declared to them that today in the city of David, a Savior has been born. And they knew exactly where to go, and they made haste and they went down there. And so we're going to take a look at two scriptures here. But first, we're going to look at this tower of the flock that's called Migdal Eder. And I believe that is prophetic of possibly where Jesus could be born. And so here you have a tower of the flock. Migdal Eder means, Migdal is tower. Eder means flock there. So Migdal Eder. And so Migdal Eder is not a town. It's not a place. It's a watchtower. And it's a watchtower for the flock. And these shepherds would watch over the flock from the second story, where they would see sheep about ready to give birth to lambs. And so they would go and grab them and bring them to the lower portion of the tower in the fields of Bethlehem. Migdal offers the inhabitants a place of refuge. That's where the shepherds would go to sleep, a place of splendor, a vantage point where you could see everything that's going on in the fields. And so, again, this is a picture of what one would have looked like. And again, it would go up higher, you know, and from up top there, you'd have a great way to be able to see all the fields around you. Now, this tower of the flock is first mentioned when Jacob buries his wife, Rachel. And so we see here in Genesis 35, verses 19 through 21, it says, so Rachel died, was buried on the way to Ephrath, that is Bethlehem, and Jacob set a pillar on her grave, which is the pillar of Rachel's grave to this day. Then Israel journeyed and pitched his tent beyond the Tower of Eder, and the word tower there is in the Hebrew Migdal. And so Rachel was buried at this time just outside of Bethlehem. However, later on, when Jesus was to be born, this area would have been included in Bethlehem. Bethlehem was much larger in the day of Jesus than 1,400 years earlier in Jacob's time. And then we have these verses here in Micah, a clearly messianic prophecy of the coming earthly kingdom when the Messiah himself is going to reign over Jerusalem. In Micah 4, verse 7, I will make the lame a remnant and the outcast a strong nation, so the Lord will reign over them in Mount Zion, and from now on, even forevermore. So he's telling them this, Micah is prophesying this at the time when Israel is about to go into exile. And God assures them that, look, this outcast, I'm going to bring you back in again, and the Lord is going to reign over the Mount Zion from then forevermore. And if the Messiah is going to reign there, if the king is going to come into his kingdom, know that the kingdom is coming as well. And so, O you tower of the flock, Migdal, Eder, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, to you shall it come. Even the former dominion shall come, the kingdom of the daughter of Jerusalem. It's going to come from Migdal Adam. Eder. Interesting here. Bethlehem, but he's supposed to rule from Jerusalem. There's a unique tie of Bethlehem and Jerusalem. Bethlehem and Jerusalem are both called the city of David. Very fascinating. David was born in Bethlehem, but ruled in Jerusalem. Jesus is born in Bethlehem and will rule from Jerusalem. Alfred Erdesheim said this, that the Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem was a settled conviction. Equally so was the belief that he was to be revealed from Migdal Eder, the tower of the flock. That's where he's supposed to be revealed from. If that's where he's supposed to be revealed from, don't you think that's probably where he's born? Another thing we know from Jewish writings, such as the Mishnah, is that there were specific hills around Bethlehem that was specifically just for the sheep for the temple sacrifice. And that they were temple shepherds who were employed by the temple priests to provide those sheep for the temple sacrifice. Mark Bailey, who is president of Dallas Theological Seminary, says, Jewish tradition in some dim manner apprehended the first revelation of the Messiah from Migdal Eder. In other words, he's saying, look, Jewish tradition has always understood to some degree that the very first revelation of the Messiah is supposed to come from the Tower of the Flock, Migdal Eder. Amazing. Amazing. In Luke chapter 2, starting up here, verse 8. Now, we're not going to go over verses 8 through 20 until Christmas Eve. So just so you know, next week we're going to be in Matthew 2 going over the Magi, and they came a good year and a half after Jesus was born, and you're going to go, what happened to that amazing time in the field? That's the best part. Well, it is. That's why I'm saving it for Christmas Eve. Okay. So we read here in verse 8, now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night, which seems, you know, to go along with what we read from the Mishnah and other places, that these are probably the temple shepherds watching over the sheep, taking care of those sheep that are specific for the temple sacrifice. So, and behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings, great joy, which will be to all people. For there's born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. Another clue given. Up until this point, Bethlehem, no room in the inn, manger. Swaddling cloths. That's where this is mentioned. So now, you're to go into the city of David there, or there in Bethlehem, and guess what? In Bethlehem there is some child that's been born, but he is the Messiah. He is the Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Born to you this day in the city of David, that means Bethlehem. And I would submit to you all of that area is Bethlehem. And he says, and they say to him, and here's the sign to you. This baby is going to be wrapped in swaddling cloths. And guess what? It's going to be in a manger. I'm here to tell you, putting a child in a manger is not a normal thing even back then. You saw what it was like, and why would you put a beautiful little child in a stone, you know, container like that? You wouldn't. You want it to be soft and comfy and everything else. And so we got all these images, how it was made of wood and hay, because hay is so comfy. It's not, by the way. And so we kind of look at this, oh, isn't this sweet? No, you know. And so, again, he's saying this is not a normal thing for you to see, a baby that's going to be lying in a manger wrapped in swaddling cloths, okay? Because there's a picture, I believe, that the Lord is trying to build here. According to James Scudder, when a sheep was about to give birth, it was taken to the tower. The newborn lambs were placed in a manger, a clean stone bed, to be examined with swaddling cloths, white linens, which would be used to find any blemishes, because the sacrifices had to be without spot or blemish. Much care was taken to make sure that the lambs were free of any infirmities whatsoever. And so, then it says here, going back to Luke, it says, so it was when the angels had gone away from them in heaven, verse 15, that the shepherds said to one another, let us go to Bethlehem, see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste. They knew exactly where they're going. Beelining. They're kind of going, okay, do you what address did he give us? Was it 777 Temple Avenue? What was it? You know, I mean, where, you know, no, here's how you're going to know. Well, there's only one place, you know, where there'd be a manger of where we are, and that's at Migdal Eder, the flock, the tower of the flock. And so I would submit to you that's exactly where they went. Now, biblical typology is everywhere in God's word. And if God wanted to continue to paint this picture that we see all through God's word, where John the Baptist himself points to Jesus as, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And then we see him time and time in Scripture be called the Passover Lamb. We see in Revelation chapter 5 that, and so no one was able to stand up and take the scroll, and all of a sudden we see the Lamb who was slain stand up. And who is that? Jesus Christ. So we see him as the Lamb, the Lamb, the Lamb, the Lamb. And so it seems to me that if he's supposed to be revealed at Migdal Eder, that's where the Messiah is going to be, that speaks of what? The temple sacrifice lambs. They're at Migdal Eder. Now, we're kind of done with this story, but I want to bring us back to how we started here. There was a census that was being taken, a place where you register your name. Very important to the Romans that this registry takes place, that you're in this book. And yet I would submit to you that the only book you really want your name in is the Lamb's Book of Life. That's where you want your name, in the Lamb's Book of Life. In Revelation 3:5, it says, he who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Revelation 20, verse 15, and anyone not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. That's a great white throne judgment. And so it's very important that if you want to spend eternity, that you are written in the Lamb's book of life. And if you are, then you're going to spend eternity with God himself. But if not, then you will not, and you will be cast in the lake of fire. That is what God's word says. Well, I believe in Jesus. That's awesome. Now, can I make sure of this? It's the Jesus of the Bible. There's a lot of other religions out there that believe in Jesus as a good prophet, a moral teacher. That doesn't get your name written in the book of life. Well, I believe he's God. Like God or a lesser God? Well, he's a lesser God. That will not get your name written in the book of life. You have to believe that Jesus is God, Theos, or you will die in your sins. Can't be anything less than that. Well, where does it say that? That's a great thing to ask. So let me show you. Go to John chapter 8. Go to John chapter 8. You know, Thomas, who missed out on that wonderful time where Jesus appeared to them after the resurrection, the night of the resurrection, the disciples were together, but Thomas wasn't there. And so the disciples were all excited. They were telling Thomas, "Oh, you missed out, man." And he did. I mean, can you imagine? You're the only disciple that wasn't there to see Jesus after the resurrection. And he can't believe it. And he says, no, he was really, I'm telling you, all the witnesses, you should have been there. Ugh. That's the one thing you don't want to hear, you know. And talk about FOMO. That's the fear of missing out. That would be the only time in all of history I would have been the Thomas. It's like, oh, you got to be kidding me. You know, he showed up, I wasn't there. Ah, but a week later, he shows up. But Thomas said, unless I see the holes in his hands, you know, and on his side. And so what does Jesus say? I'm here, Thomas. Go ahead, put your finger right there in the hole of my hands, in my side. And he drops down and he says, my Lord and my God, theos. And Jesus said, no, I'm not God. He doesn't say that. He receives that worship. Why? Because it was true. Jesus is God. And so here in John chapter 8, starting in verse 21, three times he's going to say it. And so it says in verse 21, then Jesus said to them again, I am going away and you shall seek me and will die in your sins. Where I go, you cannot come. And so the Jews said, will he kill himself? Because he says, where I go, you cannot come. And he said to them, you are from beneath, meaning earth. I am from above, meaning heaven. You're of this world. I'm not of this world. Therefore, I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am, you will die in your sins. Hey, Dave, you lift up a word there. It says, I am he. No, it doesn't. The reason why he is italicized in your Bible is because it's not there in the original. And the translators thought it would bring clarity by adding he. I don't really like the translators very much because I would say two-thirds of the time that they add something to try and bring clarity, they actually muddy the waters more. And so if the he wasn't there, you'd be able to see the genuine statement of him claiming to be the I am. I am. Unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins. Well, who's the great I am? Well, we know from Exodus chapter 3 when Moses is before the burning bush and he gets his marching orders, you're going to be the redeemer and you need to go and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And you're going to go to my people and let them know that God hears them and heard their cry and now is going to bring them out and then they're going to be able to worship him now. And Moses says, wait a minute, if I go, who do I say again is sending me? And God says, tell them I am sent you. It's a great title for God, because it is the verb of it is the form of the verb to be is what it is. It means I was, I am, I will always be, which speaks of the eternality of God. This is important to understand because a lot of you probably people have asked you before. Where does God come from? Understandable, you know. I understand why you're asking that question. And everything else. But that question does not fit from God because God doesn't come from anything. Because to come from something means that he had a beginning. And God doesn't have a beginning. He's the one that creates the beginning. Neither death nor even
life. You have just heard from Pastor Dave Love from Calvary Castle Rock, continuing his teaching of the Christmas story. If you would like to download a free copy of this message in its entirety, please go to our website at calvarycr.com. Once you're on the main menu, select Teachings, and then View All, and then scroll to the bottom and select Christmas. Before you know it, Christmas Eve will be here. We hope to be a part of your day by joining us for one of our two Christmas Eve services. At 3 p.m., we'll be gathering at Festival Park in downtown Castle Rock. Or you can join us at 7 p.m. with childcare available at Calvary Castle Rock. Invite your friends and family. We look forward to celebrating together the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you're in Castle Rock or the surrounding area, we'd love to have you visit. You'll find us right near the actual Castle Rock on the corner of 5th and Woodlands. Our weekend services are Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at a new time of 8:30 a.m. as well as 11 a.m. For more information about us or this radio ministry, please visit our website at calvarycr.com or download our free mobile app from the Apple App Store or Google Play. You can also call the church office at 303-663-2514. We appreciate you spending time with us today. Until our next time together, we encourage you to always be abiding in the Word of God.